You made a tremendous football decision to join us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics, because our guest is the incomparable Orlando Brown. Man, this guy, for as great a football player as he is on the football field, he's even more of a dynamic human being. And I'm telling you, the Bengals' first round pick, Amarius Mims, has a mentor extraordinaire in Orlando Brown and Trent Brown. They're both the same body type. These two players, the Browns, they've won Super Bowls. They've played in the Pro Bowl. It's the new Cincinnati skyline. It's the land of the Giants. And Orlando Brown is excited about it, and you will be too. Welcome once again to In the Trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. We are in the new building at First Star Logistics. This is the maiden voyage in the new studio at First Star Logistics. So I wanted somebody special to be our first guest, and there's nobody more special than Orlando Brown. He has joined us a few times. It is always unbelievable, and we're going to kind of try to get that knowledge from Orlando Brown once again, because there's a lot there, no question about it. Big man, how you doing? Appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. I thought something was up. I looked on camera. I'm like, that background backdrop is a little different. That's pretty fresh, man.
So, you know, the National Football League draft has become a multi-favorite holiday of mine. I mean, it's one of the best days or few days of the year. I saw a stat where people bet more on the outcome of different picks, who took who in the NFL draft, than on the NBA and NHL games combined. That's how big the NFL draft has gotten.
Well, I mean, that's where the sport has gone, man. It's weird to think about, you know, the growth of football, period. You know, just in terms of the amount of money that these college kids make, you know what I mean? And now it's with the transfer portals and, you know, kids are starting to have to play earlier. It's almost how I would imagine Europeans treat basketball and soccer, you know, for their kids and, you know, the growth of that sport over there, you know, in that country. You know, football's kind of getting to that point now where you may see a Cincinnati Bengals youth league 40 years from now. You know what I mean? That is connected to, you know, the Brown family, which is, you know, super cool and interesting to think about.
No doubt. No question about it. All right. So I know you're a huge student of the game. I mean, not only a phenomenal player, but man, you study the game. And I know we talked before the draft about guys that were eligible to be drafted at the offensive tackle position. And you had a lot of good things to say about Amarius Mims, I should say. Yeah. So when the Bengals took him at number 18, what was your immediate thought, big man?
Oh, no, man, super excited for him, man. You know, it's obviously always a special moment anytime you get drafted. But he comes into a great situation here in Cincinnati. Being able to be the younger player, to have two guys similar with similar measurables to learn from that are older. Obviously, man, Trent's older than me, being 31. I'll be 28 here in a few days. It's a great situation for Marius to come into and be able to, you know, sit back and learn and be able to, you know, maintain his edge while also taking things from myself, things from Trent, and to elevate his game. And the thing that I'm most excited for, man, is he seems like such a great guy. You know, just talking to him, getting to know him, getting to know his mom and dad. You know, he's somebody, man, that I think really loves the game of football, and his attention to detail is pretty serious. And it's obviously not a lot of red flags. That's why he goes 18 in the draft. But, you know, I think he's going to come in right away, man, and be a great fit for our locker room and our organization.
It was a class act by you, and I would expect nothing less, for you to come down and meet him and meet his parents like you did, and to make them feel welcome. And it was great to see. And I know the Mims family really appreciated you and really appreciated what you did. They left Cincinnati with a great feeling about the city and definitely a great feeling about Orlando Brown, no doubt about that. It's the new Cincinnati skyline. The offensive tackle position with the Cincinnati Bengals, man.
It is.
The land of the Giants, the new the offensive tackle position of the Cincinnati Bengals. And when you say that he has you guys as mentors in how to use his size properly and avoid the pitfalls, you know, that, okay, make sure that you don't do this because this could be the outcome. What kind of things might you be talking about? Just making sure you emphasize using your leverage properly and those sort of things?
Yeah. Just a wide variety of things, man. Best example I can give you is, you know, Frank always talks about there not being one way to skin a cat. You know, there's multiple ways to skin a cat. And he's implying, you know, whether that be run game, pass game, footwork, hand placement, all those different things. There isn't just one way to do them. And so as a rookie, I remember we had a joint practices against the Los Angeles Rams, and Andrew Whitworth happened to be the left tackle there. And, you know, this is a guy that I've modeled my game after because we've had so many – we have similar measurables in terms of size and length and, you know, athleticism. And so I would study a lot of his film. So I had a lot of questions for him, you know, asking him, hey, why do you hold your hands down low in pass pro? And, you know, he said, I'll never forget, you know, he was like, man, I'm 6'8". I'm a tall guy. It helps with my balance. It gives me the comfortability, you know, sometimes when I feel a little rushed, it gives me that comfortability for balance. And so, you know, there's times that I think you may see me even, you know, be late with my hands. Now there is negative things to that, but I definitely think that being able to learn from two people that are likewise in terms of size, height, length, body, all of those and types of players, it helps, you know, because I didn't have Andrew Whitworth in there every day for me. There was things that I was able to take from Marshall Yanda, but I'm not a 6'3", you know, 315-pound guy that's, you know, quick as a cat. So it was certain things I could take from, certain things I couldn't. And that's the uniqueness about the NFL as well is, I mean, in a way, Marshall Yanda couldn't do what I did. I couldn't do what he did. You know what I mean? And so I think with Amarius, man, he's extremely talented. He's way better athlete than I ever will be. And, you know, I think that definitely is on his side as well.
Well, you're humble as usual, because you are a very humble guy, because you're a hell of an athlete, I think. and that's the thing. I mean, when I met him for a brief period of time, he reminded me of you in so many ways. I mean, the size, the personality, the character, you know, all the intangibles as well as the measurables and the tangibles. It's almost like you guys are very, very well connected in a lot of areas. It's almost like it was meant to be, you know. It's like, okay, yeah. I got my little brother here that is a big man that I'm going to be able to mentor a little bit.
Definitely, man. I definitely felt that connection as well. Just being able to speak to him, speak to his dad. You know, I didn't get to speak to his mom much, but I spoke to his dad and just, you know, listened to everything he had to say about his son. And we went to dinner on, what was that, Friday or Saturday, being able to talk to him then and get to know him, man. I see the similarities too, you know, in terms of mindset, determination. I think, you know, he's just from talking to him, man, I feel like it's clear as day why they would make that pick, and he's got all the tools.
So dinner that night at Ruby's, that had to be interesting. A couple of big offensive linemen eating dinner. Was there anybody else at the dinner besides the family? Did Ted attend that dinner? Ted Karras?
Yeah. Yep. Ted was there. Alex Kappa. Yep. EB was there. Eric Ball was there as well. We're just able to, you know, just kind of relate, man. We were watching the draft. The draft was on, so we were watching the second and third round pick, which was pretty cool. And that was fun. I enjoyed that, man. And just really getting to know him, you know, and see asking him football questions about the game and Georgia was really cool.
Another thing that's very similar, and when I look at you guys, he has a 3.6 GPA, yep. So he's intelligent, as are you. Yeah. I mean, that the raw intelligence and then football intelligence, I mean, it's all there. He's got a wingspan as long as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was high.
Wow. Well,
crazy.
That is crazy.
Man.
That is crazy. It'll come in handy, too.
Yeah, and come in handy for sure. He did have a limited number of snaps, obviously, only 8 starts.
Yeah.
He's only 21 years old, though. 21 years, 5 months old. I mean, he's got some maturity left for sure.
Yeah.
402 pass blocking snaps, opportunities. He only allowed six pressures. And he played in college football playoffs, national championship game. I mean, some of those starts were quality opposition. And I know, I don't think you have access to, but I mean, a lot of people, the scouts obviously had access to the tape of practice when he's working against five offensive linemen while he was defensive linemen while he was there, excuse me, that got drafted in the first round. So, I mean, he was going against a high caliber, you know, player every single day that he was able to practice there. And if not for injuries, the old injury gods weren't kind to him when he was at Georgia. But the thing I liked about it, though, Orlando, is he stayed and competed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I think that's a trait that's pretty important.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. He's a competitor. As I said, I think he really loves the game, man. Just kind of what it brings and where he's from. You know, I think it's a situation where he's a big guy and it's kind of all he's had. And so, he's got a very high work ethic as well, man. And as you mentioned, the GPA, he's got a great IQ, you know, in a sense of football. Seems like in life too, man, just talking to him and some of the decisions that he's had to make with some of the things that he shared with me personally. I got a lot of respect for him because it's hard to make it to this point, man. It's hard to be a first round pick, period. You know what I mean? It's hard to get to this point. And so, you know, he's here and I think, man, he's going to do a lot of damage on this level too.
So, At the size and measurables of you guys, which is more challenging, pass protection or run blocking at the NFL level that he's going to have to transition and adjust to? Or are there you know, things that you have to deal with in both?
Yeah, I think there's things you got to deal with in both, man. It's all a challenge in its own way. You know, I know that we are a pass-heavy offense, so pass protection is – a little bit more important than you know, your run game stuff, but it's not by much, you know what I mean? We're talking 60-40 here, 55-45, you know what I mean? So it's not by much, man. And you will get embarrassed in the run game, which is just as bad as a feeling as giving up a sack. So, you know, I think they both kind of go hand in hand in terms of what it takes to be a really good pro.
So what was your advice to him? He came in, you know, met the media, met yourself, met other people in the organization. Mm-hmm. What was your advice to him? Go home and start. How did you tell him, or what advice did you give him approaching, you know, coming back for rookie mini camp, coming back for OTAs and getting ready for training camp? Take me through some of the process things you might have advised him on.
Yeah, just, man, getting this settled. One of the most important things, you played in the league, man, you know, Lap, it's you want to be settled. And, you know, I think, and when I say settled, I'm talking off the field too, you know, in terms of you want to be comfortable looking for somewhere to stay, whatever your living situation is going to be, making everything as convenient as possible for the type of person you are. You know, my rookie year in Baltimore, I lived about 25 minutes on highway, you know, away from the facility, but I'm also from there. So I knew all the back roads when it snowed. I knew all the places to go when there was traffic. You know what I mean? It was a different, you know, situation and scenario for me because I got drafted to my hometown and I was able to live, you know what I mean, outside of Owings Mills and live in, you know, you by University of Towson, where it's better restaurants and more to do for my family because I'm from there. But, you know, everything and everyone is circumstantial. But I think one of the most important parts as a young rookie player is first and foremost, finding the most comfortable situation for you. Some guys live right across the river in Kentucky and ride their bike over every day. That's because they know they can't do a drive every day. So, you know, I get that. And I also mentioned to him about taking care of his body, man. You know, sometimes in this league, I think a lot of players and people forget coming in that some of the best productivity is availability. And if you can be available, a lot of times it's a lot of people that are willing to at least risk a little bit more than others. You know what I mean? Because you're available. And I think of Joe Thomas, how available he was, you know what I mean? The respect that comes with that. Of Brett Favre to this league, how available he was, the respect that comes with that. And so those are guys that, man, took a lot of pain and hits as well, but they invested into their body and their nutrition, massage work, whatever it may be. So I mentioned those two things to him. And then when it comes to the football, man, just be a sponge. You know, it's being a rookie is not easy. Playing in the NFL is not easy. Playing offensive tackle in the NFL is so damn hard. But, you know, you can minimize those things by being a sponge, taking everything that you can from everyone and using it to the best of your abilities, man. As I mentioned, you know, Marshall Yanda was completely different in size to me, but he said something to me that always stuck in the run game. You know, 3 points of contact, hands, face mask, and feet all hitting at the same time, and that made sense to me. You know what I mean? That the feeling of that made sense to me. So, yep. You know, that was kind of my advice that I gave him.
That's interesting, because it's like a guy who has had the level of success you've had, Pro Bowl, Super Bowl, everything, every honor that you can accumulate, you've done. Mm-hmm. Did you give him any diet advice or any strength training? I mean, like, hey, one thing that, you know, you might want to incorporate in what you're doing in your workout program. I found that doing this really helped advance me, you know, going against these behemoths in the National Football League. Anything like that, or is it too early?
Yeah, it's a little too early. He didn't mention anything to me about that yet, so I didn't really touch on it. I know that he's down there with Duke Manyweather in Dallas, so right. You know, and that's one of those things too, man. I'm a firm believer in kind of whatever works for you works for you. You know, I take more of a defensive back approach, man, where I'm doing a lot of different movements within my hips and focusing on my physical therapy and strengthening program are cohesive. They go together. And so everything that I do in terms of foot strengthening, toe, ankle flexibility, dorsiflexion, calf flexibility, quad strength, glute strength, hip mobility, all of those things go hand in hand in the way that I approach the off season with my workouts and my body work.
So I know you're probably the kind of guy that, I mean, if he asked you, and I know I was given some good advice by somebody that I respected that had played in the league when I did get drafted, it's like, look, don't go in there, you know, shooting your mouth off about anything. Listen, ask questions. Yeah. No question's a dumb question. And how many times do you hear that? But it is true. I mean, there's no dumb question, right? I mean, if he has a question, I'm sure he'll come to you with it.
Oh, yeah, he definitely will. He definitely will, man. And we touched on that a little bit too. You know, that's the unfamiliarity part of the NFL is, you know, you kind of you're so used to playing in college or high school, you know, you get to this level and it's more of a business than ever. And so it's a little easy to forget, you know, your position or I guess the dynamic of a football building and facility.
You know, it is interesting watching how you not only reached out, you physically came down and were right there.
Yeah.
With the Mims family. To me, I can't say I was surprised, because Orlando Brown is a unbelievable human being. It was just such a hell of a great gesture. I mean, it was amazing to see. And then, so you bookend first round, and then the last pick, 237, is Matt Lee,
yeah,
a center out of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 51 college starts. So he was obviously productive, very athletic. I happened to be in the locker room when Ted Karras reached out to him by phone and heard their conversation, the same type of thing, you know, any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me and that sort of thing. So making guys like that comfortable, it's like, to me, it's classy that a guy who plays the same position that a guy got drafted at, it's like, all right, we're going to be teammates. And Ted's like, yeah, Matt Lee, I mean, yeah, he's probably good. Going to try to take my job at some point, but I'm going to help him. That's what life in the National Football League is like, particularly at the offensive line position. It's like this. Everybody's like this, right?
Yeah, it has to be, man. You know, it was from my experience as a rookie with James Hurst and Ronnie Stanley, they were open arms, man, with any information that I needed about life, football, weight room, body, strength and conditioning, they were completely open. Marshall Yanda was completely open. And you know, James Hurst was in, you know, somewhat of a strange situation with this young rookie coming in that's drafting in the third round. He just signed his new deal and, you know, he gets hurt. I go in, I'm playing, and he's still there, you know, and that always stuck with me in terms of his approach and how positive he was and how honest and real he was. And so, you know, it was extremely humbling for me as a young player to have someone like that. And so for me, man, coming up there, being able to meet him, meet his family, it was important for me to express my gratitude to him. Like, hey, man, I'm excited to work with you. And this is, you know, and I'm sure, you know, same reason Ted would call Matt. It's like, we're trying to get to New Orleans in February. I don't give a damn what it is, man. You guys can. It's like we are focused on what it takes to get there. And we know that at some point in time, these are guys, whether that be now, in the future, in the playoffs, late in the season, that we're going to have to rely on, that we're going to have to trust, because football is football. We all know that. And we know the things that come with it. And so, man, just wanted to express my gratitude. Man, I hate that the cameras were there, because I was just coming to see him after the press conference. I just assumed that, you know, he'd be done and everything. That'd be like the last thing he had. And it's like a local media situation. I mean, that was his moment. You know what I mean? I wasn't trying to come there for any cameras or anything. I just wanted to come introduce myself to him and his family and let him know, man, you know, that you know, I'm excited to have him here and excited to get to work with him. But he's got a great dad, man. He's got a great dad. He's got a great foundation at home with both his parents and his relationship with them. And, you know, that's so important for someone that's 21 and a half years old in his position.
You know, you mentioned how there's two phases to it when you're a rookie, because you're going into a new environment, and Baltimore was your hometown.
Yep.
So the transition off the football field was maybe a little bit more smooth for you.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot to deal with, you know, transition to the National Football League, on the field, play, practice, all that. But boy, when it's new in both arenas, you know, it's like, man, I really don't know what I don't know in terms of where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing, where I'm staying in Cincinnati. And I got to show well on the football field, learn this. There's a lot to sort through. Your head's spinning when you're a young buck like that.
You are, man. It is. And you are somewhat confused. It's an unfamiliar feeling. You know, I related to, you know, somewhat when you first get to college and, you know, you're kind of trying to find your way. You're trying to figure out, you know, your role in this. And, you know, it's the workouts and it's class at that time. Well, now you're coming into, as I mentioned, man, it's a business. You know, you're walking into a situation where for him, man, he's a first round pick. You know, the expectations are high. You know, the media case has been built that, you know, he's got two guys of similar stature to learn from, you know, all of these different things that create pressure go into that. And so for him, man, just figuring out a way to make it as less stressful as possible, as comfortable as he can be, to allow him to go out there and just be himself when he hits the field, man. That's kind of what's most important.
You know, in the middle of the draft, I guess maybe toward the top end, you have Jermaine Burton, a wide receiver out of Alabama, that first round talent, and there were some, you know, competitive scenarios, I guess, off the football field that maybe caught up with him a little bit.
Yeah.
That made him, you know, slide to the third round. The Bengals get him at number 80. And I'm telling you, man, watching this guy on tape, he takes the top off the defenses in the SEC, the way he can track and adjust to a football. I couldn't find a drop, man. He caught everything. And, you know, he's worked with TJ Hushmanzada, so he's got little subtleties to his route tree that are like, whoa, man. I mean, this guy's pretty polished. How excited are you to have another weapon like that potentially as part of your offense?
Super excited, man. And them taking him at pick 80 kind of lets you know everything. You know, he's a special talent. I'm sure he's somebody, man, that's going to come in with the right mindset. He went to Georgia, Alabama, so he knows, you know, what it takes, and which means he's a winner. And, man, when you got that type of mentality, I think his Instagram name's DB Assassin. Shit, this guy's gonna fit in perfect, man, with what we do.
So, How excited are you? You know, you're in the workout phase of it now. Mandatory OTAs will be coming here shortly, and then training camp will be here before everybody knows it. But what are you going to do? You still have a little bit of time to yourself and recharge the battery from a personal standpoint. Any big plans for Orlando Brown in that regard?
No, not for me, man. Not for me. I'll just be around here. Probably get to a few more Reds games. Other than that, that's it, man. I'll just be resetting a little bit here and hanging out with the kids, man. That's it.
That's awesome. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you're an unquestioned team leader. There's no two ways about that. And the Bengals organization dealt with the draft like they've been dealing with it here in the recent past. Scouting department and the coaching staff combining big-time programs, you know, mm-hmm. Georgia's of the world, Michigan's of the world, big-time programs competing for national championships, multiple captains, again, you know, drafted. They seem to have a formula that's working. I mean, man, your guys' locker room, Orlando, I would say that I would feel comfortable putting it up from a overall. You pick a category, talent, character, you pick a category. Bengals locker room's up there with anybody's, man.
It is, man. And, you know, I think when you build the character of a locker room like they have, great things are going to happen. And so, you know, it's all about on this level, making sure you get the right men, because every NFL locker room is different. Every organization is different. I would say the Cincinnati Bengals organization is one that is ran like a true NFL program, and they allow you to be yourself, which means that they have to bring in the right guys with the right characteristics, hard workers, guys that are professionals and that they see the potential of being a professional. You know, I think of guys like Mike Hilton is a professional. Dax Hill is a pro. You know, he's a guy that works his tail off, man, that loves the game. He's a professional, you know, and I know that they drafted him. Miles Murphy, a professional. You know, he's got everything that it takes to have the right career, you know, because of his characteristics. And so when you find the right men and then the talent matches and the football player matches that and the potential is all there, you know, that's kind of what they've continued to build, man, here in Cincinnati. And I'm very blessed to be a part of it.
Well, I'm glad you feel blessed to be a part of it, because, man, the city of Cincinnati is so blessed and fortunate to have you as a professional athlete in this city, in this area. I mean, you are one class act, my man, and I appreciate the heck out of everything you do.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Lap. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you.
Appreciate your time as always. It's, man, football conversation with Orlando Brown is always at that high level, man. I love it. You're the best.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you, guys.
Have a great one.
Yep, you too.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team. Opportunity knocking.